Welcome to the Full Frontal Living Podcast. I'm Lisa Carpenter, master life coach to driven, ambitious humans who want more out of life without having to sacrifice themselves to achieve it. I'll share how it's possible to slow down, take better care of yourself, find more peace and ease, create sustainable energy, stop procrastination and overwhelm, and fall in love with your life, your business, and your body. This podcast is for you if you're ready to learn what it takes to thrive as a high performer, do less but achieve more, make you and your well-being a top priority, and create your extraordinary life. I'm so glad you're here. Well, hey, hey, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast, which the topic we're diving into today is, what if what you want is on the other side of what you didn't want? Let me explain. It's been a long time since I've done an episode where I've just kind of riffed on what is going on in my life and shared as openly and honestly as I can. But this is part of why I started the Full Frontal Living Podcast, because I didn't see enough real, honest, and vulnerable conversations happening out in the world. I saw a lot of people putting up this facade of, you know, this kind of perfect life, or this was how you do self-development. And listen, I'm here to share a lot of actionable tips as well. But what I find that my people need from me the most is for me to lead in a way where they can see themselves in my stories. And I've always been kind of a natural born storyteller. So it's taken me a lot of years to learn how to really allow myself to just be completely vulnerable. And I do it because I know that somebody will resonate with the story that I'm going to tell, or they will see themselves in my life and be able to apply it to their lives. So the reason that I wanted to talk about this is why, you know, is what you want on the other side of what you didn't want? Because there have been so many times in my life where I kind of woke up to things happening that I never asked for, I didn't want, that was not the request that I put into the universe, only to find out that that very thing that I didn't want was the gateway into what I wanted. And this starts from as far back as when, you know, I discovered that my husband was an addict, and I had the opportunity to really start to discover and explore who I was and how I was showing up in my life and the things that I was addicted to. And that work was, you know, him going into rehab was the catalyst for me doing the work on myself, which has led me to where I am in my life, and is part of the reason why I've become such a powerful and results-oriented coach. I can see what other coaches don't see. I can hear what other coaches might not hear. And I will say what many coaches do not have the courage to say, because my job isn't to make my clients my best friends. My job is to help them unpack and see the messages and discover the stories that they are telling themselves about themselves that aren't necessarily true, to give them different perspectives. So it still surprises me when things happen in my life that are disruptive, because it's hard not to, just as a human, not to go like, what the heck? Like, why is this happening? I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. So if you've been tuning into the podcast lately, if you've been following me on Instagram, there have been some massive shifts happening in my life. And when I say massive, it's like an atom bomb was dropped in my world. You know, in the morning, my life was one way, and by the afternoon, everything that I thought was true was not. And to say it took me to my knees would be an understatement. And I have been doing a tremendous amount of work, again, looking at this as an opportunity to dive deeper into some of the things that have been holding me back in my life that I didn't even recognize were there, that were still holding me back. Fears around abandonment, where I can love myself more deeply, where I'm tolerating things in my life out of this unconscious fear that I'm not going to be loved or that I'm going to be left behind. So as I'm doing this work, I have also been working on over the past, I would say, couple of years now, kind of dipping my toe in and out as I unravel my own relationship with myself and my masculine energy. So if you're not familiar with feminine and masculine energy, our masculine energy is like the gasoline in the tank. It gets stuff done. And if you're anything like me, and if you're like most of the women who are tuning in to this or working with me, and this applies to the men as well, we love our masculine energy. It feels powerful. It can be addictive. It can be all consuming, especially if you like to achieve things, right? It's really this driving force. However, many of us, especially women, have learned to rely too much on that masculine energy, and we've disconnected from our feminine energy. And our feminine energy is our intuition, our flow, our ability to create ease and allow in our lives, the willingness to surrender. And surrender isn't about being a damsel in distress. Surrender is about handing it over, trusting that everything is going to work out and knowing that everything is fine just as it is, even if it's not the way you want it to be. Feminine energy is about acceptance and creation and inspiration, right? And then your masculine energy is all about taking action on those things. And we need both. And for many of us, if we're too far into our masculine, this is often what leads us into burnout and exhaustion, because we're not allowing ourselves to tend to our energy. And I've done a lot of episodes about how to manage and navigate your energy. So make sure you tune into those or go back and listen to those episodes, because that managing your energy is about being in your feminine energy and honoring its place. There's a reason why we have masculine and feminine energies, why they're both needed when we're raising children, right? That creates a more well-rounded, balanced human. We want to have the nurturing, and we want to have the structure and the discipline. And we want to have the, like, okay, we need to do these things, and we need to have the compassion and the love and create that feeling of safety, right? All of these things can come from the feminine. And it's a much bigger topic than I want to dive into, but I wanted to share that. So this is where I'm working from. Over the years, I have learned to slow down so much. I have learned more to be in my flow. I have embraced my feminine energy in many, many ways. And I've also had this pull that there's more. So it's not that I'm suddenly going to start throwing on flowy skirts and twirling in fields. I'm always going to be driven and ambitious, but how can I allow more of that feminine energy? And how can I allow more of that intuition? And I have been really intrigued, especially through my years of competing. I've been really intrigued with some of these younger generations, because I'm a Gen Xer. I turned 50 this year. And I didn't grow up in the time where it was like selfies and self-love, and that just wasn't us. So not that I'm saying that this generation totally understands self-love. I think they might surface, but as with all generations, they're going to have their own work to do to discover who they are as they get older. But some of these younger generations, these women, they're really in tune with their feminine energy, and they own it. And it's not about their feminine energy is for someone else or for a man. It's for them. They're celebrating themselves. They're celebrating their bodies. They're celebrating their curves and all their things. So I have a posing coach right now. I've worked with a couple different posing coaches, and I always choose a different posing coach because they each bring something unique. And what I've loved about all the posing coaches I've worked with, because most of them have been women, they know how to like work their bodies and really play to the camera, because that's part of the organization I compete with. It's very pageantry and, you know, model. And I don't consider myself a model. If anything, I consider myself more of a tomboy. But I do like to get glam. Like, I do have that side of me. And this is where I talk about range. It can be both, and I can be serious and a world-class coach, and I can also strut down a catwalk, right? That range. And I want you to have that range as well. So each of these women are powerful in their own right. They're entrepreneurs. They're smart. They have a diverse interests. You know, one loves like dirt biking and photography and cooking and modeling and belly dancing and pole dancing. They're mothers, they're raising children, they're running businesses, supplement companies, you name it. So these are smart, smart women. And I've really had to unpack the stories that I tell myself about women who can really own their bodies and feel at home with their own sexuality, because that has not been my experience. So there has been a lady that I've been watching online for a long time. Her name's India, and I'm going to link her Instagram in her Instagram account in the show notes, so you can go and check her out. I'll link the posing coaches that I've worked with as well. You can check them out. Because again, if this is something that you rub up against, then start following some of these women who might trigger you a little bit, because when you get triggered, that's showing something that you may value in yourself or a part of you that is wanting your attention, wanting to be heard. So I started to pay attention to this. And whenever I'm judging somebody, this is a good tip for anybody listening. If you're judging somebody, it's really important to turn that finger back around at yourself and ask yourself, what am I judging in myself when I'm judging someone else? So when I was judging these women for really owning their own sexuality, there was a part of me that was judging myself for not being in touch with my own and feeling so disconnected from that part of me, but wanting it a little bit, like wanting it for me. So anyway, so I'd been following India for quite some time, and she just intrigued me. Like, you'll have to go and watch her on Instagram and give her a shout out. But she just intrigued me because she was the absolute embodiment of femininity and feminine flow. She's got a background as a dancer. So I loved just watching her move. I loved watching her just own her body and her sexuality. It was intoxicating to me on a certain level, because I was like, how can this be? I don't think I can move like that. I don't think I feel at home in my body like that. Which was also disruptive for me, because as somebody who's been, like, I've been an athlete my whole life, I've been a dancer, I'm very kinesthetic. Yet at the same time, there was this disconnect, right? This belief that I couldn't have that, or that wasn't me. That was for other women, but it wasn't for me. So this year, and especially with everything that's happened in my life, I decided it was time to get serious about really pouring into myself in a new and exciting way, and working with someone in person, which many of my coaches are online. And I love that, but I really had this craving, especially after the pandemic years, to work with somebody in person and be in that physical space, because it's different. And I wanted to not hide. And I wanted to be able to show up as raw and vulnerable as possible, which sometimes can still be challenging for me. It's one thing to be in a place of leadership and in my vulnerability, it is a whole other ball of wax to be sitting in front of somebody else and surrendering and like laying your heart out on the line for them to be present with. And not everybody can hold space for me. Not everybody can hold space for you. You want to find those coaches, those mentors where you feel safe, that you can show up as all of you. And that's partly a choice, right? I had to make the choice that I was going to be completely open about what was going on for me and how I was feeling with India. And sometimes that's hard, because as a coach, and because I've been coaching for so many years, you know, that little voice that's like, oh, you should know better, Lisa, you should know better. You know what you need to say to yourself. To let go of that judgment of I should know better, and just allow myself to be open to her perspectives and what she wanted to share with me. Because if I knew better, then I wouldn't be feeling the way that I was feeling. And I remember one of our first conversations, I told her, like, I feel so broken. Like, there's pieces, and I just need to learn how to pick those pieces up. And I want to embody my sexuality for me more, and my femininity. And I want to understand more about this flow, and I want to deepen my intuition. I've got pretty good intuition, and still sometimes I find myself not listening to it in the way that I need to. So I want to deepen that. I want to be in a relationship with myself that is so connected that I have my own back in an even deeper way, that I belong to myself, and that I know truly what it means to choose me all the time. Choose me. Because what I talked about at the beginning of this episode around abandonment, if you know you're never going to abandon yourself, the fear of being abandoned by somebody else no longer exists. So there's this part of me that I'm not giving myself. And I remember that she looked at me and she said, well, maybe Lisa, you're not meant to pick up the pieces. Maybe you're meant to have this part of you kind of fall away. And it's about creating new from here. And even though I'd heard that before, the way she said it resonated with me in a different way, because I do feel like I'm at a stage in my life and in my business where I'm reinventing myself again, where I'm going deeper. And we all have different seasons. We have seasons where we get to just enjoy the view, right? So I've had a few years of sitting upon the mountaintop that once upon a time I thought, oh God, when am I going to feel better? And then everything in my life changed. And I've been sitting there enjoying the view, enjoying the life that I've built for myself and the business that I've built for myself and everything that I've accomplished. And then the universe decided it was time for me to grow again. And this is where this shedding comes and these pieces fall away. So, you know, just reminder, the topic we're talking about is, what if what you want is on the other side of what you didn't want? There have been things that I've been calling in my life. I've been calling in this femininity, this flow. So everything that's happened in my life has provided the opportunity, the catalyst, the time, the space for me to really dedicate to this. So this is a very long way around this story that I want to share with you. But here we go with this, because this is what I mean about what if on the other side of what you didn't ask for, what you're having a tantrum about is the gift. So it's been 2 years since I've competed. I compete in fitness. What's the difference between fitness and fitness model? Fitness is a little bit of a harder look, a little bit more cut in terms of leanness, more muscle density. So not so much as like bodybuilding, but definitely like harder, more fierce and intense. There's an intensity about it on stage, right? Like I am that, I am all that. And, you know, a bag of chips kind of attitude, very fierce and ferocious and sexy. And fitness model is a much softer look. You don't have to come in as cut. It really is about fun and flirty and playful and sexy and just like living your best life. So the stories that I have been telling myself, and this isn't new, this has been going on for decades, is that I never wanted to be a fitness model. I don't aspire to be a fitness model, because part of it was, and again, no shade on anybody who is a fitness model, because this story is not true. This is just what I have been telling myself. And many of the stories you're telling yourself aren't true either, is that fitness models are not athletes. And I am an athlete. So I don't want to compete as a fitness model. I want to compete in fitness. So for the past 2 years, that has been my goal, to compete in fitness, to go up on stage next to my coach, and be able to hold my own. So a few weeks ago, during my check-in, my coach came back to me and said, and her and her husband work as a team, you know, we've looked at your physique and we think that you should really consider competing in fitness model. And you would have thought that I had gotten hit by a 2x4. To say I was not happy with that feedback would be an understatement. So the reason behind it is my build did not go the way we had planned this year. There were lots of ups and downs, you know, between hormonal issues, things happening in my life that have derailed me. I just wasn't able to put on a lot of extra lean mass. I'm tiny as it is. I'm like 5'1". I go on stage at under 100 pounds. So putting on some muscle density so I could really compete in fitness as a pro just hasn't happened. But man, it was such a punch to the gut, because I've been working so hard over the past 2 years. I've been controlling the things I can, and I've had to let go of the things that I can't. And this is the outcome. And sometimes we don't get the outcome that we want. And I also believe we get exactly what we need. So after thinking about it, I came back to my coach and said, you know what, like that inspires me like 0%. Don't really want to do fitness model. So I'm just going to go out on stage. I'm going to do fitness and I'm going to do my best. And that's that. But it was like the sandpaper rubbing at me behind the scenes, to the point where I was like, you know what, I don't want to spend the time or money to go on stage if I can't be competitive, because I love being competitive. The athlete in me wants to be competitive. So I don't go in like expecting I'm going to take first place, but I want to do well. I want to do well up on that stage. I want to do well in everything I do in my life and in my business. I don't come to just have a mediocre life. I want to have an extraordinary life. I want to have extraordinary experiences. So I thought, God, well, if I can only do fitness model, if that's the only place I'm going to fit, do I really want to do that? Do I really want to do that? Because again, I had all these stories about what I was making it mean about being a fitness model. It was almost like if I competed as a fitness model, it erased all the work I did in 2 years and nobody's going to take me seriously. But I know the work that I put in. And at the end of the day, you listening, you're probably like, well, what the hell's the big difference anyways, Lisa? Does it really matter? And you're correct. It doesn't really matter. So I've sat with that. And I actually got to the place of like, I don't think I'm going to compete at all because this is just not inspiring to me. And then I went to see India for my session. And we do a lot of like movement and just getting in my body and feeling what's there. It's another form of like somatic therapy, healing, whatever you want to call it, right? Because so much is stored in our tissues. So it allows me to move that energy and move my emotions. And she asked me some, you know, I was in my stuff and going off about fitness, bikini, and blah, 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 right? Like all up in my garbage. And she asked me to explain the difference between fitness and fitness model. And I did. And then she got quiet. She looked at me. And she kind of chuckled. And she said to me, Lisa, do you remember why you hired me? I'm like, yeah. And then it hit me what she was saying. I hired her to find my sexy, my fun, my flirty, my full embodiment of feminine energy. Okay, nothing speaks more to that than going on stage in my organization as a fitness model. Nothing. And she said, isn't it funny that you got exactly what you wanted? Yet you're fighting for the part of you that wants to remain fierce and ferocious. And I'm an athlete and I'm strong and this is what I do and this is who I am. She was right. I asked for this, but it was delivered to me in a way that I didn't want. I didn't want it to come in that package. I wanted what I wanted, how I wanted it, when I wanted it, under the circumstances and conditions I was going to create. But that is not how it works when we ask for things to be different in our life. The universe is going to deliver it however it chooses to deliver it. And in this case, it came in the form of a downgrade, quote unquote, that's my word, a downgrade into being a fitness model. I'm getting exactly what I asked for. So I stopped stomping my feet. I looked at the stories I was telling myself. And I said to myself, Lisa, if you really embrace this opportunity, what might be possible for you? Imagine if I stomp myself out on stage and place in the top five at Worlds in bikini model because I've done the work to actually embrace that part of me that wants to come out that I still am holding judgment against. What is possible on the other side of me really embracing that femininity, allowing myself to indulge that part of myself, to make it okay to be a woman owning her femininity and whatever that looks like. And you might be listening to me thinking like, oh my God, I can't even imagine this, Lisa. And most of the clients that I work with, most of the women I work with are like this. They have a lot of judgment around their bodies, around their sexuality, all the things, right? Their masculine energy feels safe for them. The masculine energy feels safe for me. Feminine energy, flirty, fun, that feels edgy. So there's an opportunity here for me to lean into an edge. But again, like it's coming to me not in a way that I expected or requested. Just like when I got the gift from my husband of rehab, that is not how I wanted to grow and evolve. That was not how I wanted my personal development to come to me. And even now in my relationship with what is happening, this is not what I asked for. But I have for many years now been requesting in my mind, knowing I wanted a different relationship. So not with a different person, but I've been sitting back and wishing and wanting for things, certain things to be different, for my partner to grow and evolve and really step into taking responsibility for his life. So although he had his sobriety, he wasn't necessarily healthy all the time. And this, you know, when we don't deal with the root cause of what is shaping our behaviors, the behaviors don't just go away, they move. This is why, you know, addiction is so toxic, because it moves from alcohol to drugs, from drugs to gambling. Like, so you can do all the things to abstain, but your trauma is going to come with you. And this is in essence what has occurred for him. And I have been tolerating a lot. As I said, I've been tolerating a lot of things in my relationship that I really wasn't happy with. So now there's been this massive catalyst. And on the other side of this, maybe the gift of the type of connected relationship I've always wanted. But the only way to have that was for me to heal my own wounds around abandonment, where I still wasn't choosing myself and was waiting for someone else to choose me, and also him doing his work on what he needs to do so that he can become the healthiest version of himself and the most connected version of himself, so he can know what it means to choose himself and belong to himself without the stories and beliefs that were keeping him trapped. So I'm not making what happened in our relationship okay, because it wasn't. It really wasn't. And maybe one day I will talk more in depth about that, but I'm not ready to yet. And that's okay. I'm simply sharing that there is always an opportunity when things are happening to look at it as, this is happening to me. Why did this happen? What did I do wrong? What did I do to attract this? Blah, blah, blah. Or we can look at, what is my role in this? What is the opportunity here for me? What can I discover about myself? So again, it doesn't dismiss other people's shitty behaviors, but it does allow you to sit in the driver's seat of your life, to take these opportunities to explore yourself, your edges, to really look at, wait a minute, what have I been asking for? And this might be a crappy way to get what I've been asking for, but ultimately, if it leads to you getting what you've been asking for, does it matter if it came in a shitty box that fell off the back of the UPS truck that was run over a couple times? Does it matter? Doesn't really matter. It just requires that you stay open and curious and willing to explore. That's it. Instead of getting stuck in the rules of, it has to be this way, it has to look this way, there's a right way from point A to point B, right? I believe that there was a way from point A to point B around how I was going to embrace my feminine energy in a deeper way. I never explored, well, what if that's by doing bikini? It's funny when I talk about it, I have to laugh about it, but this is life. This is life. Everything is an opportunity. Everything is always going to be okay. Even in the most painful of moments, you are learning and growing. And I think that that's how I want to end this episode, is growth is pain. Growth is pain. And nature is such a beautiful example of this. You know, we're going into the summer months here, I believe. Tomorrow is the summer solstice here. You know, for a plant to grow, that seed to grow, it needs to completely destruct, right? Like the destruction has to happen for the sprout to push its way up through the soil, to break the ground and then just got to grow while avoiding the bugs and the birds and the right to reach for the sun. It's got to get enough water. All this work and energy goes into the growth of that plant. And so much of it is about destroying what once was. You cannot get a plant without destroying the seed that was holding it in that safe container. And there's many metaphors for this, right? We could look at butterflies, caterpillars going into the chrysalis, and then they turn into like goo, and then they have to break free on their own. And if you try and support them in breaking free, you'll actually kill the butterfly. There are so many examples of the beauty that comes from the destruction. Even if we look at forest fires, although we don't like forest fires, they are a part of nature because the earth knows how to regenerate itself. This is when new plant life shows up afterwards. And let me tell you, the pain of remaining the same, of holding on to your current suffering, holding on to your current stories, your current beliefs, is far worse than the pain you are going to have to endure from creating what it is you want. And there is more for you on the other side if you are willing to walk through that discomfort and meet yourself, meet the parts of yourself that you've been unwilling to meet, to be with, to feel the emotions you have been unwilling to feel, to lean into the edges that you know are there. So I don't know what's going to happen on the other side of this season of destruction in my life, but I know I won't be the same. And I know that things will continue to get better because when I look back on my life, every time things have broken down and been destroyed, it has grown me for the better. And I bet if you look at your life, every time something horrible maybe has happened, on the other side of it, it has transformed you in ways that you could never have possibly imagined and for the better. So go look for the evidence that the discomfort of doing something different in your life is worth it. Lean into the fear, lean into the edges, and continue to keep your eyes on and dream about what is possible for me on the other side of this thing that I didn't want and didn't ask for. This was a longer than normal episode. So if you stayed to the end, thank you so much for being here. If you need support navigating, getting out of what is familiar and comfortable for you, if you are an A-type, high performance, high intensity, driven, ambitious woman who wants more, but you recognize that you are sacrificing a lot of the parts of yourself to achieve that, and you no longer want to tolerate that in yourself. You want to prioritize yourself. You want to prioritize your joy and your fulfillment and peace and ease and be more connected with who you are and create an extraordinary life and extraordinary life experiences for yourself, to live a life that you truly enjoy being in, a life that you are living and not a life that is living you. Is that how you say it? Like you're living your life instead of your life living you. Make sure you reach out, hop on to lisacarpenter.ca/collective. That's where we have a wait list for the collective, which is a 6-month hybrid one-to-one and group coaching program beginning in September. There's only space for 5 women at the time of recording. I believe we only have 4 spaces left. And when it's filled, it's filled. Now, this is not a group program with the curriculum and PDFs. It just means that you're going to be doing one-to-one coaching with me. And the group aspect of the program is when all 5 of you come together and we have deep conversations about the things that are impacting your world because you are all so much more alike than you realize, which opens you up to vulnerability, to seeing your edges, to seeing the stories you're telling yourself. And everybody in those group sessions is also going to get hot seat coaching. So you grow and learn from the collective, and you grow and learn just from being in the one-to-one container with me as well. And it comes with other elements of support. So if that's for you, make sure you get on that wait list and we will get an application out to you. And then I'm happy to hop on a call and discuss if it is the right fit for you, because it's not going to be the right fit for everyone. But if you think that this might be for you, I encourage you to just get on the list and fill out the application. You have nothing to lose. And I guarantee you, even spending 30 minutes with me, will create transformation for you. Even if you decide that the program isn't right for you, that 30 minutes spent with me will create transformation and shifts in your life, because I don't want to waste my time and I certainly don't want to waste yours. I want you to walk away with tremendous value, even from that connection call. So have a beautiful day. If this episode resonated with you, make sure you share it with a friend or family member, or drop into Instagram and drop me a note in Instagram. I will leave all these links in my bio or in the show notes for you to check out. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for being here. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We will continue to put out videos, and just grateful for you being here, grateful for you taking this time out of your day to spend with me. And I hope you receive tremendous value, or the message that you needed to get to break down some of your own, we'll call them limiting stories. So until the next episode, take good care of you. Remember, you are responsible for your health and well-being, emotionally, physically, and nobody can make you a priority but yourself. So stop waiting for other people to give you what you need, and take responsibility for giving yourself what it is you need to thrive. I'll catch you on the next episode.